This morning, we're going to wrap up our Jesus Man of Passion series, okay? So we're going to wrap that up this morning. We talked about how Jesus was a man of passion, that he had a passion for position. And we showed you with that he loved it when we sat at his feet. He loves it. He loves it when we come into his presence. He loves it when we seek out his face, man. He loves that. And so we see that he was had a passion for position. And then we seen that he had a passion for pleasing. You know, he wanted to please his Father. And in John, he says, listen, I want to please my Father. I'm about my Father's business, and I want to please my Father. And so then we showed you how he had a passion for pleasing. We went through the scriptures and talked about it. And we talked about when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was about to take arrested by the soldiers, and he went and he had a passion. He said, nevertheless, Lord Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. So we've seen where he had a passion for pleasing the Father, and then we were directed to do the same thing, that we should our goal should be to please the Father, to please our Heavenly Father. And then Christmas Day, we seen where Jesus had a passion for people. And we talked about how he died on the cross. We talked about how he gave his life. We talked about how his whole purpose was to raise up people. And his whole purpose was to, that when he died for us and he shed his blood for us so that we could be with him for eternity, so that we could have righteousness, and that through the shed blood of Christ, we could be presented before the Father as holy and as righteous. And man, what an amazing thing that was. And so today we're going to finish it up where Jesus has a passion for purpose. He has a passion for purpose. You know, everything that we see him do, everything that we've watched Jesus do and the Father do and the Holy Spirit do was for a purpose. And the purpose was actually for last week, which were the people, which is us. Well, today we're going to unfold the passion for purpose. And if you would, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to read verses 16 through 20. Matthew, so it's the first book of the New Testament, chapter 28. Well, that's 28 chapters into it. And then 16, well, we're actually going to start on 18. Go down to 18, Matthew 28, 18, okay? 28, 18 says this, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. Now the word amen, when it ends, just means that is true. I agree. So be it. So if you hear somebody in here say amen, because we've had a few, and I know some, when we've had some new people come in or whatever, they do this. Well, I can't do it as effectively as I would have, but they go looking for that amen, you know? And then they missed it the first time, so then they wait. And they hear it again, and they go, they missed it a second time. So then they look to their spouse and go, you keep staring, and I'll watch the pastor. And then you tell me who it is. Then they hear it a third time, and then they go, I thought that's who it was. But amen just means, so be it. It is true. I agree. I remember when I first got saved, and of course we went to a church, a large church, a very large church, and I would say amen. And now when I said amen, you thought I had a microphone. I didn't do it to draw attention to myself. As a matter of fact, it got to the point where I tried not to say it because it would draw attention. I just, listen, I have a deep voice and it carries. And so I was known everywhere I went, which was at our home church in Raleigh, North Carolina. And then in Missouri, when we were in Bible college, the church that I went to in Missouri, I was known as the Amen Man. Because man, I'm telling you what, when I hear good preaching, I amen it. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. And then I had one pastor who knew, there you go. And then I had one pastor who knew I amened it, and I wasn't giving him any amens. And he knew who I was, and he knew that I always said amen. And I'm about fourth, fifth row back, and this is a church of 1,100, 1,200. And he goes, John, why am I not getting amens? To which I responded, I can't amen when I don't agree. Preach the word. That's all I want you to do. Preach the word, I'll amen it. Okay, listen, I'm black and white and I'm offensive. And I know it. I've tried not to be. It doesn't work. So I just, listen, I took a special class here a few weeks ago. I'm not even lying to you. I paid $1,300 to go through the class. but I got a discount because it was supposed to be $2,000. And you know what that class was to do? Teach me how not to be offensive. And you know what I did? I offended the person directing it. I tried. Okay. I love you guys. If I offend you, just come back. Take time to get to know me and you'll find out. I really don't mean to hurt your feelings. I just want you to live right. Okay. We're coming into the new year. I've said Happy New Year. We've gotten that out of the way. I said Merry Christmas. That is over. Praise God. And now we're starting, and we're starting on a new life, a new direction. And you know, sometimes we forget the purpose that God has set for us. Sometimes we forget what God wants us to do, where He wants us to go, how He wants us to act, how He wants us to accomplish it. We forget because what happens is we get so caught up in us. We get so caught up in ourselves. And how many have seen the sign down in our fellowship hall? It's not about you. It's all about Him. And so this year, everything we're doing this year is to teach you that it's not about you. It's all about Him. And that's what we're going to do today. What is our purpose? Why are we here? What does God want from us? What does God want from you? What does He want from me? That's what we're going to learn today. And you know, how many here make New Year's resolutions? Oh, come on. You can be honest. You're in church. Some of you are going, me. Okay. For those of you that are refuse to admit you're guilty, it's okay. I'll ask God to strike you. Watch the one with the sizzling hair. For those of you who didn't get it, she said it's too wet. Okay. All right. So I thought we'd go ahead and pull a video up today and just show what the typical person is at New Year's, when New Year's hits. So go ahead and play the video.
Close call. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Oh, you're looking at my new look, huh? I call it the cul-de-sac. It's like catnip for the ladies.
Meow.
Yeah.
New year, new goals, new me.
Yeah.
Seriously. Look, I got my list right here. Resolutions! Probably want to know I got it so fast, aren't you? Well, it's my list from last year, but this is my secret to a whole new me, a whole new year. Yeah. You mind? This new year, character is king.
Yeah.
I can almost feel it. Just feeling inside.
inside me. These voices inside my head say, it's a climb, yeah, yeah, it's a climb.
You don't believe in New Year's, do you? Well, April Fool's, the joke's on you, because this list right here, this list is going to take me all the way to the top, okay? This list right here is my psychological and spiritual elevator. Yes, just like we're in an elevator that's going to take us all the way to the top, this little list is going to take me all the way to the top for a brand new year, for a brand new me. I have that. Basement? Hey, I thought we were going up. Oh, I get it. You probably think this is some metaphorical picture of my life, don't you?
Yeah.
I thought I was going up.
All right, here's what happens. When we have our own purpose, our own agenda, that's what you look like to God. Yeah, only he doesn't eat your paper. That's what we are when we have a purpose or an agenda, anything contrary to the word of God. That's what we look like. Guys, we can't do it our way. It's got to be God's way. It's not about you. It's about him. So when we look at this, that Jesus has a passion for purpose, I got to buzz through this. So let's get on here. Matthew 28 is where we're starting. But here's what I want you to do is in this, I want you to note the universals. Note the universals that are in this. And you go, what do you mean the universals? The universals. How he says here is all power, all nations. He says all things. Always. It's all. You don't have to keep up with me on that. Just stand there. And so, because otherwise, your PowerPoint, we're going do. You know, we don't want to do that. So, it's all things. The universals in here, he says all. And it's to all people, to everything, to all ways. There's no limit when God talks about that. So, the first point that we're going to look at is number one, all power, verse 18. Let's look here in verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So the purpose here is to show authority. Authority. The purpose is to show authority. Because he says, listen, all power, all authority is given to me. That's what Jesus says. So we can't just look at Jesus and go, okay, he was a man, he walked on earth, blah, 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 blah. No, no, he says, listen, all authority, all power is mine. Now, he wants us to be Christ-like. He wants us to live in his image. He wants us to do what he does, the way he does it. And then he blesses us, strengthens us, encourages us, and he uses the Holy Spirit to empower us. Now, think, we can have part of Jesus' power. Now, that doesn't make you God. Don't walk out here going, preacher said I'm God. No, you're not. But what you are is loved by God and empowered by God. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Of love, and he's given us a spirit of, not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We get what Jesus has. Would you agree that he has these attributes? Amen. Absolutely. We get it. 1 John 3, 8-9. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. So some of you are going to go, wow, that says because now I'm a child of God that I can't sin anymore. No, that's not what it's saying. So don't walk out of here thinking you're perfect. You would be deceived. Here's what he's saying, that you won't live in habitual sin. Now, we say, well, what is sin? Because Jesus says, my purpose is to destroy the works of the devil. Well, what do the works of the devil look like? That's a good question. How many want to know what the works of the devil look like? Man, some of you are just being rebellious starting the new year out, aren't you? Well, I'm going to tell you, even though you don't want to know. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 tells us some examples of the works of the devil. Listen to this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither, now here we go. He starts with the works of the devil. Neither fornicators. What are fornicators? Fornicators are those who have sex out of marriage. That's a fornicator. That's tough for some, especially in this day. So he says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, anybody putting anything above Jesus, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals. I know that word bites in this day and age in this society to say, oh, homosexuals, you're preaching hate. I'm not preaching hate. I'm preaching truth and love. One day I might have to really stand and defend on that, and I will. I have no problem going to jail. Been there before. So then he says, nor homosexuals, nor... no, it's all right. Nor... I should have left that part out. All right. Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. He's saying, if you believe in Jesus Christ and you received him as your Savior, then here's what happens. You will not habitually practice these sins. But if you habitually practice these sins, if you habitually live in this realm or this lifestyle, if you will, these are the works of the devil. And he says you really need to check your salvation. That's what's going on here. Do you continuously live in any of this area? Then you better check and make sure your heart's right with God. Because I'm telling you, if you're having sex out of wedlock, is there conviction that's gripping your heart? If not, you better make sure that you're right with God. Because if there's no conviction, the Holy Spirit's not in you. If the Holy Spirit's not in you, you're not going to live right. I can't expect you to live right, and neither does God. But if the Holy Spirit is in you, and he says that you'll be without sin, it means you will be without habitual practicing sin. You will curb what you're doing wrong. And the guilt, that's how you're going to know you're saved. If you're a drunkard, and you drink, and you continuously drink, you can say all you want, it's a disease. I'm going to tell you what the disease is. Are you ready? I'm going to get it. Brief your prayer for me to stay late. Here's what drunkenness is, and drugs. It's lack of discipline. And you go, I don't agree with that, Pastor. Listen, you're talking to somebody who's drinking a 12-pack a day, smoking an ounce a day, smoking three packs of Marlboro Reds a day, drinking whiskey about 3/5 on average through the week. Don't tell me. You're talking to somebody who was in and out of rehab by the time I was 16 because I was an addict by the time I was age 12. Don't tell me that I don't know. I've lived through it. And let me tell you what alcoholism is and what drug addiction is lack of somebody taking a stand and controlling their own life. And you don't have to agree with that. But let me tell you this. I lived it. By the time I was 16, I'd been in and out of rehab twice. I was clean for a year. You know what put me back to using? My decision. I wanted to go hang out with the same people, do what I always did, and you can't do that. And then I gave Jesus my life and went home. And dumped the whiskey out, and I dumped the beer out, and I threw the drugs out, and I got rid of all the tapes. Yes, you know what I'm talking about. Got rid of all of that, cleaned my house up so it glorified God, cleaned my temple up so it glorified God, and made a decision every day from that moment on to stay clean. And with God's grace and God's help, guess what I did? I became a pastor. A clean pastor. So I can tell you right now, when we talk about this, and you go, well, I can't do it. No, you're deciding not to do it. And you don't agree with me? Mr. David Lamedy, raise your hand, please. That man right there, talk to him afterwards. He'll tell you what it is to be drunk and laying in a hospital bed, dying, literally waiting to take your last breath. And then John Wayne comes in, shares the gospel, and he gets saved. Okay, not the real John Wayne, but Ask him. I'm going to get him to share his testimony this year. I'm going to get a lot of you guys up here sharing your testimony this year, giving God praise and glory. Only if you're willing. But ask him about alcoholism and how he finally got rid of it. Ask Jesus into his heart and then made a decision every day to live for him. Get rid of the garbage in your life, guys. You can do it. These are the things that are the works of the devil. So I hope you wrote down 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Oh, you know what I did? I put it on your paper so you don't have an excuse. All right, so the next thing we're going to look at is all nations, verse 19. Look here in verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now listen, first off, he says, go therefore. That word, go therefore, oh, by the way, so you can fill in your spot, its purpose is to not discriminate. Jesus' purpose is to not discriminate. Listen, here's what he says. Go. I want you to go. He says, go therefore. What do you mean go therefore? Whenever we see a therefore, what do? We find out what it's there for. And so when we look and it says go therefore, what do you have to do? We have to back up. We have to back up. And he says, listen, because of verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Because I am in control of everything, because all authority, all power, all wisdom, all everything is mine, I control it, it's been given to me, therefore I want you to go. If you're living in me, you love Jesus, like you love me like you say, the Holy Spirit's going to indwell you, going to empower you, and therefore go. Guys, this year we need to go. Amen? We need to go. What do we need to go? What do we need to do? We need to make disciples. What is make disciples? Win people to Jesus. Amen. But that's what this means. Win people to Jesus. Share the gospel. Because listen, if they don't have Jesus, they have the works of the devil. They have the works of the devil. They don't inherit heaven. They don't go to heaven. They go to hell. It's obvious math. So let's avoid that and go and make disciples. That's what we're called to do. And he says, go. He doesn't say, okay, let's make a deal here. All right, you know I died on the cross for you. And I shed all of my blood, all of it, for you. And I died on, so, you know, don't you feel guilty like you owe me something? Come on, guys. Will you go and tell somebody about me? He doesn't do that. He says, I own you. You've been bought with a price. You're mine. Therefore, go. Oh, and by the way, I have all authority, all power in heaven and earth. I control it all. Have no fear. I've not given you fear. I've given you a spirit of boldness and of a sound mind. You're not crazy like the world's going to tell you you're crazy. So go out and tell somebody about me. That's what he's saying here. I don't know about you, but I got a little excited about that. But by the way, listen, how many here is a Gentile? Okay. I'm going to help you, because some of you are going, what's it mean? Am I Gentile? Am I If you are not Jewish, you are a Gentile. Now, here's my next question. How many of you are Gentiles? That's what I thought. Okay. If you go back in Matthew, go back to chapter 10. Or do we have it up there? Did we do it up there? No, I don't know if we did it up there. I don't care. Go back to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter, my clock is ticking. Okay, Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. I got to go a little bit more. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. 5 and 6, are you ready? These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them saying, oh, there we go, it's up. Commanded them saying, do not go the way of the Gentiles. What? Yeah, Jesus says, don't tell the Gentiles how to get to heaven. Don't do that. Here's what he says. And do not enter a city of the Samaritans. Do you know who the Samaritans are? The Samaritans were, are you ready for this? They were what you would call mulattoes today. They're intermixed. He says, don't go to them. Because what the Samaritans were the Jews and the Gentiles breeding. That's a bad word. But that's really what's happening, right? They're breeding. They're having children. Isn't that breeding? Come on. And so I could have used a better one, I'm sure. It didn't come to my brain at the moment. So I just spit out, you know, you got to keep going. So at any rate, they're having relations and they're having kids because of the relations. Is that better? I like breeding. And so he says, listen, you know what? That means that's a poor bloodline. Don't go to them. Because guess what Samaritans were called in that day? Dogs. Guess what Gentiles were called too? Dogs. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? And she went to him to be saved or to be healed. And he says, I'm not come for the dogs. It's not your time. And the Samaritans, he says, don't go into the city of the Samaritans either. They're dogs. So think about that. It's a whole change because now he says, go make disciples of all nations. What happened? Oh, you guys are going to love this. The Jews weren't responding to the gospel. And so Jesus said, you guys, some of you are going to walk out here struggling with this. Don't struggle, just appreciate. Jesus said, you know what? The Jews aren't going to respond. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to open it up to the Gentiles. We're going to make the Jews jealous. Really, God, you would do that? I don't care why he picked me. I'm just glad he did. I don't have to understand his reason or his purpose. All I got to know is that he loved me enough to die for me. And all I got to do is receive him as my Savior. How awesome is that? And so what he did was then he said, go make disciples, go teach, not just to the Jews, but I want the whole world. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. He said, listen, not just your town, but your state, your country, and the whole world. That's what's here. If you break it down, you'll find out that's what it is. And then he says, then baptize. Guys, that's why we did baptism today. What a sweet time. Man, what a sweet time. He says, then baptize, Romans 6:1-4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, listen, if you're saved, you don't continue in sin. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, because of what I just read to you, we were buried with him through baptism into his death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We died. We were buried. We rose again. We recognize and resemble what Christ did so that we could go on and live life and have a victory in life. I love it. I love what he gives us. And he says, do it for all nations. Go to everybody. Wiersbe says, please keep in mind that our commission is not simply to win souls. It is to make disciples, which includes winning them, bringing them into a Christian fellowship, and building them up in the faith. People said, why do I need to go to church? Because if you don't go to church, you're not going to open your Bible. If you don't go to church, you're not going to listen to God. If you don't go to church, you're not going to learn. If you don't go to church, you're not going to be encouraged by those. As Vernon said earlier, man, he feels like he's got an army with him now. Why do you go to church? Man, church is a place to come and not get yelled at by me, but to get encouraged and lifted up and to be taught and to have loved ones, family. By the way, guys, listen, like them or not, everyone in here that says Jesus is my Savior, they're your brother or sister. I know we can never pick family. But listen, think about that for a second. We're your brother and sister. Man, Mark and I were talking. Vernon had no idea. By the way, when he called and said that the Bible was on its way, it's because he was bringing it. Just so you know, he didn't lie. But, so, because he thought he was mailing it, and I wanted to let him, just, never mind. All right. But Mark and I were talking, and I said, Mark, listen, man, don't worry about where you're going to stay when you get here. We will put you up. I was going to let him stay in my basement, because I put all people I don't like in my basement. And, But he kind of earned my love, so he showed me that, hey, dude, you're pretty cool. So I put him up in a hotel, and well, you guys did actually. But here's what, because you guys know I got a family in my base. All right, why would we do that for somebody we've never met? Our brothers and sisters, it's family. We take care of them. We help out so that we can build others so that they can go out and do what Jesus did. Number 3, verse 20, he says, all things. Look at the universality in all things. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. He says, listen, I've given you everything you need to know. I've given you everything for victory. But not only have I given you everything for victory, but I've shown you everything that will make you go into defeat as well. I've given you all things. I didn't just limit it here and say, oh, this is all the positive and you don't need to know the negative. He said, no, this is all the positive. This is all the pretty. This is all the good. And this is all the ugly and the nasty and the destroying. And so now you have both worlds. Choose. Choose this day whom you will serve. Choose. Choose. Remember I was talking about alcoholism? I was talking about drugs? I was talking about porn? Actually, I didn't mention porn. But those who are addicted or say they're addicted to it, all this stuff, choose this day whom you will serve. I've given you all things. I've shown you all things. All truth. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Choose. He said, I didn't hold anything from you. The purpose is to teach the whole counsel of God. That was the purpose. He says, all things. Why do we need all things? The purpose is to teach the whole counsel of God. The entire Word of God. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And then once you're taught, guess what you have? You have what's called, are you ready for this? Free will. You can choose to drink, you can choose to have sex, you can choose to watch things you shouldn't watch, you can choose to steal, you can choose to do right, you can choose to do wrong. Your choice. But he says, I've given you all things so you're without excuse. Don't you hate it? Now we can't go, well, God, I didn't know. He goes, sorry, you did. Remember that annoying Pastor John Westfall? He told you. You know. He gave you all things. He is to be taught all things whatsoever I commanded you. That's what Jesus says. We know, so we're to teach it, all things. The question is, not whether you know it, but whether you're going to follow. That's the question. You go, well, I don't agree. Okay, so you're going to be disobedient. I don't agree with it. You're still disobedient. Well, what if it's wrong? No, it's not wrong. You're wrong. See how easy that is? Don't you guys love me? Because I just put it right there and give you no excuse. I know. Some people go, well, I want my excuse. All right. Matthew 4:4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by what he wants to live by, but he should live by every word that God tells us to live by. We're commanded. Guys, this new year coming up is going to be as victorious as you want it to be. And it's going to be dependent upon how much of this you follow. Not agree with, but you follow. Not like, but you follow. Listen, there's a lot of things in here where I read it and then I stop and I go, God, really? Okay, I'll be obedient. But I'm not a happy, obedient one right now. But you know what? I'm still obedient. That's going to determine my year. The minute I say, God, you know what? I read it. I agree with it. But I don't like it. And I'm not doing it. I just messed my year up. Guys, that's where it's at. And he says, all things, to teach all things. Matthew 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Wait a minute. Understand this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, which means it's all truth, because you can go, well, man wrote it. Man wrote it, but God directed his hand. God guided his thoughts. God put on paper using man to write it, but God used man and told man what to put on there. Therefore, it's all of God. Here we go. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable. Profitable is good, right? Everybody likes to make a profit. Listen, you buy something for $50, you sell it for $150, there's a $100 profit. That's good, right? Amen. I don't know about you, but I like that. That's what profitable means. Profitable for what? For doctrine. For reproof. For correction. Oh, man, here we go. For instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be, what's that say up there? The man of God may be complete. Do you know complete is lacking nothing? Thoroughly, thoroughly equipped. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. What's good work? Only the work of God is good work. Right? So now we understand that verse. The last point, number four. I don't know about you, but I think I'm doing pretty good considering we had a 30-minute baptism. Number four, always. Look here in verse 20. He says, teaching them to observe all things that you have commanded, that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Now, let's for a second look at this. I am with you always. You're never alone. You're never without God. Now, you may feel like it sometimes. How many have felt like it sometimes? Amen. Now, let me tell you what that is when you feel like you're without God. Number one, either you are, you just don't know Jesus as your Savior, so you're on your own. You're free-flying, no God, because you don't know Jesus. Or your relationship isn't right with God. And so you're not living for God, you're living for yourself, but you've asked Jesus to be your Savior. It's undeniable you're saved, but it's what the Bible calls backslidden. And so you've opted to do things your way rather than God's way, and you're not going to feel the presence of God, the direction of God. And you go, well, I've talked to God, and I've asked God, and I've asked God, and I just don't ever hear from God. Well, maybe do you ever think that because what you're asking for is pretty selfish and he doesn't want you to have it? Maybe he's saying, you know what, listen, you're not going to hear from me because I'm going to put you in the desert. Do you know why I'm going to put you in the desert? Because in the desert, people seem to get it. That heat just kind of melts the brain. They get tired of it, and they go, man. Or maybe he says, I'm going to put you in the belly of a fish where all the vomit and the seaweed and the nasty is, and that little bit of acid that eat, you know, how sick is that, and slimy, ugh. And then that fish blows up. Who'd he blow up? Jonah, thank you. And he blows up Jonah. And Jonah, here he is on the beach, and that slime's dripping from him because he said, God, I'm tired of living in there, and I will do what you want me to do. The Israelites said, God, this heat is killing us. We'll do what you want us to do. And then they heard from God. So you may just be in a desert place because God wants you to get your attention because he wants to move you. And the more you fight him, let me tell you this, the hotter it gets, the slimier it gets, the longer it takes, the more frustrating it gets. All you need to do is surrender, because I don't know if any of you realize this, but you will never win against God. You'll never win. I know some of you are sitting there, well, I'll die trying. You're absolutely right. You're not going to win. Always. He's with us always. The purpose is to give assurance. The purpose is to give assurance. Assurance. He wants you to know that you know that you know. Assurance. Look here in Matthew, in Matthew 1:23, he's called Emmanuel, which is God with us. In Hebrews 13:5-6 says this, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, now listen to this, he says, because he says, I'll never leave you, never forsake you, I'll always empower you, I'll always be there with you. So that we can say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. And then I love the last one. What can man do to me? That might sound arrogant, but I like it. Your enemy approaches you, and he's cursing God, and you're loving God. And you might get a little fear in you for a moment, and then you ask yourself this question. What can man do to me? Nothing. David in the Psalms, I love it, because David in the Psalms asked this question. And I guess I never really thought about it until one day when I read it, and then I really had to think about it. He asked this question. God, what is man? What is man that you love him so much? What is man that you love him so much? Man is human. If you look it up in the Hebrew, it literally means, what is humans that you love them so much? Guys, have you thought about that? He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says here, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We will know God loves us, and we may, so that to the point that we can boldly say, I'm not going to fear man. What can they do to me? Because the Lord's my helper. Who's greater than the Lord? Nobody. Nothing. What can separate us from God? What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Isn't that what Ephesians says? Neither height nor depth nor things above or things below. He just goes on and on and on. He explains everything. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Wow. What assurance. What assurance here. When he says that I'll be with you always. Always. I love that, guys. I love the assurance that he gives us. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What's the end of the age? Not the end of the world. Not to the end of the world. The rapture. The rapture. You go, what's the rapture? The word rapture is no... That's another sermon. The word rapture is nowhere in the Bible, but it is if you look it up in Thessalonians. Thessalonians gives a definition of rapture. We just took the word rapture and used it to make everybody mad. But it literally means to be taken up. To be taken up, to be lifted out. We're going to be raptured. That makes the liberals just queasy. I think that's why we use the word. To see where you're really at. I'm a Christian, I'm going to be raptured. And if they go, high five, me too, you know they're on your side. And if they go, you know where they're at. And then it says, amen. Amen. It's truth. Amen. Let it be so. Amen. I agree. Amen. You're right. God's word. This new year that you're coming up on, guys, you'll determine your victories in it. You will determine if it's a good year or a bad year because of one thing, two things. One, your walk with God. And that walk with God is going to be determined by your decisions. We got a new year. And this whole year, here's what I'm going to do every Sunday. Every Sunday. So now you know what you got to look forward to for 52 weeks. Every Sunday, I'm going to push and emphasize it's not about you. It's all about Him. Colossians 1:16. It's not about you. It's about Him. But He says if we make it about Him, it's going to be fantastic for you. Don't you love it? He's never greedy, stingy. He never takes anything away that He doesn't give back 10 times more. Your year, 2012, is absolutely dependent upon you. Nothing else. You can blame your work. You can blame job. You can blame economy. You can blame your spouse. It's you. It is you. That stinks to walk home with that, doesn't it? Your decisions. But lo, I am with you always. I love it. I want everyone to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, and you guys know I never share the gospel without giving somebody opportunity to receive Jesus. If you're here today and you want the victory that I was talking about, if you're here today and you want the love of God, if you're here today and you want Jesus to be on your side, the Holy Spirit to indwell you, where He'll never leave you nor forsake you, where you have victory, where you have peace, where you have contentment, if you want that kind of year, there's only one way to obtain it, and that's through Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says that your destiny is hell. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just starting the year off right by telling you straight up. And you say, I don't want that. Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, shed His blood for you and I? Do you believe Jesus is at the right hand of the Father because He conquered death and hell? If you believe that, and you go, well, I believe it, but I don't understand it. Listen, you use electricity and you don't understand how it works, but you still use it. If you believe it, the Bible says that you have to believe in Romans 10:9-10, that you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. If you want Jesus to be your Savior and heaven to be your home, you pray this prayer. But understand this, the words don't save you. You can't in your mind go, well, I better pray this so I don't go to hell. No, in your heart, you got to say, your heart has to say, man, I believe Jesus is the Savior of the world. If you wish, you pray this prayer after me. You can pray it quietly in your heart. My goal is not to embarrass you, not to call you out. My goal is to get you to see truth, to receive Christ, so that heaven's your home. If that is your desire, then you pray this prayer quietly in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I recognize that I can't save myself. I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me. I believe you shed your blood. I believe you conquered death and hell. And right now, Jesus, I repent of my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, that I would have eternal life, and heaven is my home. Every head bowed, every eye closed.